Welcome to the Angry Admins podcast for February 5th, 2008, episode 58. Welcome back, everybody, to the Angry Admins podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
And I'm still here, Mr. Joe Bebe.
This week, we will be co-piloting the Millennium Falcon of technology.
That's right.
Through your universe of the tubes. And we're going to have some stories and some basically bad attitudes about tech. So, Joe, why don't you start us off today with some stuff?
All right. So, I don't know if you've heard about this yet. So, I'm going to send you this link so you can look at it. Microsoft has come out with this new webcomic. Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, man, this thing is a choice. So this is a webcomic basically about, like, IT folks or sysadmins. Mm-hmm. And it's all, it looks good. You know, it's drawn well, but it's just not good. And kind of makes me embarrassed. because it's called Heroes Happen Here. And it's very much Microsoft trying to be cool. Like the site, when you click on it, you'll see it's all web 2.0, and like even the way they made the title is kind of web 2.0, and it's sponsored by Seagate. And but it's a daily comic that goes until June, and you're following the story of this one IT guy, and like today's comic is him getting called from home or from in his home via webcam saying, you need to bring in the backups.
So, okay.
It's supposed to be kind of like serious but funny, because it ends with his wife yelling at him.
So here's the thing. Is it just like propaganda? Is it just marketing wrapped in a Heroes webcomic type thing?
So I've only looked at a couple strips, and they haven't mentioned any Microsoft products specifically. So I'm not really sure what they're going for here. You got it? You got it pulled up?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Okay, yeah, so it's not drawn bad.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice. And, I mean, of course, the IT guy is like an overweight guy. He's sitting in his bathrobe, and he looks kind of scroungy. But, yeah, I just don't get what they're doing with it. So I just wanted to bring it up. You know, People can follow it. You can see what it's like.
As always, and I'll look at this, but if this is kind of what I think it's turning out to be. Okay, so you know you have Heroes, the TV show, right?
Right.
And then they had their little web version with the comics that were like interstitial, like they would fill in between the episodes, right?
Right.
So someone at Microsoft, as usual, like, so this season will be what for Heroes? Like season four? Season three?
Season three, yeah.
Okay, so 3 years after this thing becomes popular, someone at Microsoft finally figures out, hey, we can have a Heroes comic online too about us.
Yeah.
So it's like they're always coming so late to the party.
Yeah. And like the style of it has changed from the beginning. Like it started out kind of really cartoonish looking, and then there's one, you know, now it looks almost like, not really anime, but anime influence. Mm-hmm. But the early ones were more of a classic comic look. And I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Interesting.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's not... anyway, we better just move on, because...
That is something. I don't know what it is, but it is, quote-unquote, something.
Yeah.
Keeping in theme with the Microsoft stuff, so we finally had some news on the Service Pack 1 for Vista.
Oh, yeah. This is good news.
Yeah, released to manufacturing. Looks like maybe early April, mid-April, something like that. We'll finally get it. So that's good news. Good news for me with my chipset. That means I'll finally be able to put my machine to sleep instead of having to just leave it on or shut it down.
Right, yeah. Well, and anytime they can get a service pack out, you know, it's a good thing, because that means all the early fixes are all rolled up, and I don't know. I'm glad it's finally coming out. It seems like it's been delayed, or I don't know. It just seems like it's taken forever to come out. Yeah. So.
I think we just passed the 1 year, which would be right since they missed the Christmas shopping launch. Remember that? That was the big debacle was the Vista launch wasn't ready for Christmas. So all the Christmas computers, maybe now we can say beneficially, fortunately for most of the U.S., most people did not get Vista on their home PCs for Christmas last year. So
So continuing with the Vista theme, I found this on, I think it was on Engadget. They had found this photo taken in this little New Hampshire town, and from the post it looked like it was on like one of the TV broadcasts in the background or something.
Mm-hmm.
But this little company, they have a sign in their front window with this guy holding up the thing, and you know, you can put your letters in there, and it says, "We remove Vista, we install XP." So like they're advertising that they will take Vista off your machine and put XP on there.
This reminds me of the things where they're like, "We'll unlock your iPhone."
I don't know. It's just, it's not a good sign when in a small town even companies are making money pulling Vista off.
Yeah. So
hopefully, SP1 will fix some of that kind of feeling of it being broken.
Well, what's really going to fix it is when they turn off XP updates next year.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I guess then they'll be installing Linux. Or like
maybe, or OS 10.
We'll trade in your thing for an OS 10.
Yeah.
Thing.
Maybe they'll do a Hackintosh.
Maybe. I just don't know. So have you been following, did you hear like a week or two ago about the undersea cables being cut?
I did, and I've been seeing stories about it, but I haven't taken the time to read anything about the story.
Okay, so this is over like in the Persian Gulf or whatever. They had the big, humongous, super fiber optic undersea cables with that, the basically the giant tubes.
The one I want in my house.
Right, yeah, that. For like the whole Middle East area over there, mm-hmm. one of the main cables, there's like half a dozen or whatever of these. Well, a ship, what they thought was a ship dragging its anchor, like cut one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, whatever, we're gonna fix it.
Yeah.
Then like a few days later, another one gets cut. They're like, oh my gosh, this is like crazy. You gotta be kidding me. We need to be more careful.
Yeah.
Then another one gets cut.
What? That is
then
shady.
Then another one got cut today. That supposedly they're saying, it's the fourth time in a week that something has happened to one of these cables. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying, well, we didn't have any ships in that area. There's no, you know, so now they're starting to think this is like foul play.
Yeah.
Somebody's deliberately sabotaging these.
Hmm.
So I don't know. It says, I'm following this on Engadget.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic from the Middle East and surrounding areas being routed through various other cables in an attempt to remain online. But any more snips and we'd be dealing with ping times that are eerily similar to those seen in 1993.
Jeez. So yeah, that's not good.
I could actually see, you know, radical fundamentalists saying, you know, we hate the internet. And
so how deep are these cables where they're cutting them? Is that in the story anywhere? So, I mean, it seems like most of the time it's going to be super deep. And then where it's not, you would think it would be, you know, protected somehow.
You always do that to me. You're like, so how many megabits per second do these cables contain?
How big are these cables?
I don't know.
Could I run down the cable?
It looks like it's as big as a 2-liter Pepsi bottle around.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's deep in the middle of the ocean. And then on land, as it nears land, it gets shallower.
So, I mean, it seems like a major pipe like that should be protected in some way.
I don't know. I get the sense
that either way, that's a bad thing.
Right. And I mean, it'll break your mind if you just think about across the entire ocean, a giant cable of fiber optics that's just like laying on the floor.
And yet we can't get it to my house.
You know, Godzilla's tripping on it and the giant dinosaurs are chewing on it.
The stupid thing from that stupid American movie.
Oh, the
Cloverfield monster is chewing on it for dinner.
So anyway, something strange things are afoot at the Middle East Circle K of undersea technology.
Yeah. Well, it may not matter because apparently Microsoft is going to buy Yahoo and ruin the internet.
Oh, yeah. So dish out the dirt.
Yeah. So Microsoft offered, what was that? So I don't have the actual offer pulled up here, but they offered some ridiculous amount. Oh, here it is.
Exactly. How much was the offer?
$44.6 billion cash and stock for Yahoo. So this is Microsoft offering to buy Yahoo outright.
Mm.
And I'm not a huge fan of that because, well, mostly because I use Flickr regularly, which is very well integrated into OS X. You even have it on the new Apple TV update that's coming out soon.
Right.
And that's not going to last much longer if Microsoft buys them. And apparently Google agrees with me, because Google has come out publicly and said that they think Microsoft and Yahoo together will ruin the internet as well.
Well, it'll definitely ruin Google's, it'll ruin Google's monopoly of search.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw something about that. And I was trying to follow the verbiage of the Yahoo response.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked eerily, like, agreeable. Like, everything I said, like, we can confirm we have received it. We look forward to promptly responding to Microsoft's generous offer. I mean, they basically didn't say, yes, we agree, you know, but they definitely made it sound like we are seriously, positively considering this.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Seems like their Microsoft interest would be, you know, Yahoo has their ad service, so that would be one more ad service Microsoft would own against Google.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if they would actually use the Yahoo services very much. I mean, they've really been developing the live.com site. And I don't know. I don't know what their plans are other than, you know, maybe using some of their assets and users. Mm-hmm. So
here's the thing, though, Joe, and I think I mentioned this to you earlier. Flickr may poof off of your Mac, but it might get moved to your Xbox 360.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a good thing, but I'm not going to be putting my pictures on there because I can't get them there on my Mac. I thought about that after that.
Hmm.
Well, so, and then if I don't use them, what else is out there? Well, Google has their thing, but that means like all of my identity is with Google at that point. I'm not sure I feel comfortable with that.
Hmm.
Plus, there's no Picasa yet on the Mac, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Hmm. Well, if this does screw up Flickr, then basically, within the photo sharing space, that will open up a hole for someone else to...
Yeah, I would think someone else would be able to come in and target that missing piece.
Yeah.
I know one thing I won't be using, and that's the .Mac photo galleries, because I'm not paying $99 a year.
Oh, come on. Yeah. So, yesterday, it looked like... let's see, what was this? This was on BBC News, because, you know, I like to... Pretty much BBC is where I get all my news.
Because you're on the American media haterade train.
Yes, it makes me feel smart to listen to people in a British accent tell me about my own country.
Right. Well, and they, yeah, well, we won't get into the political side of it, but yes, I agree with you.
And I need to feel smart. So today we're recording on the 5th. Yes. Yesterday the 4th.
Hold on, there's my plane. Got to catch my flight.
For those of you just joining us, Ryan Necessary has a house at the end of a runway. Yeah, which actually I do. Anyway, so yeah, yesterday they started updating the root servers for the internet with IPv6.
Wow.
Yes. So IPv6 is coming. Oh, no. Yeah. The it's, you know, obviously it happened yesterday and I'm still surfing, so yeah. They didn't break the whole world.
Well, they're keeping IPv4 up and running. Right. So they're running them side by side, basically.
Right.
But... I mean, until that happened, you know, major companies couldn't move to it completely.
So, as of this morning when you woke up, if you had an IPv6 address, you could talk to other IPv6 people that didn't have IPv4 support, and it would work.
Yes. I guess that's true.
Yeah, that's
As long as your ISP has IPv6.
Right. I believe everything the BBC says, and it says right here in their article that is true.
So I'm wondering if that requirement is then now pushed on to ISPs. Is that in the article?
I don't know. Exactly how many bits of IPv6 information are there, Ryan? I don't know, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, this is good news, I think. Because we need IPv6. We need it.
Yeah.
You know. But I also need to learn it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to have to memorize a whole new thing.
Yeah.
So
I don't either.
Although I never memorized the other one.
Right.
I survived that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's finally happening. Even though they've been talking about it for 10 years, they finally actually did something about it yesterday. So, hooray for that.
Woo. So, you have an Xbox 360, right?
Oh, yes.
I have an Xbox 360. Have you ever wanted to carry that with you to someone's house?
Oh, no.
Never?
Never.
Well, if you did want to do that, then you should build this little number. So this guy took an Xbox 360 Elite and put it in laptop form.
Oh, okay.
Did you see this?
I saw the article, but I didn't click on it.
It's pretty cool looking. I mean, it has the keyboard, and the keyboard functions.
Oh, look at
so,
that.
So, like, for entering names and stuff, and it looks like a laptop. That's pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, that's pretty something. It's kind of... it looks bigger than the actual 360.
No but way,
I guess
man.
It's flat.
It's flat, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. why would I do that? You know, they make a little carry case for it.
Yeah, but it doesn't have a monitor. Like, imagine you could take that in your car.
Yeah, I guess it's sweet that the monitor is there.
You guess. All right, move on.
And it's got the built-in keyboard.
Right.
That's kind of nice, right?
Yeah.
So what is this akin to? This is like a gigantic... like a PSP sort of superpowered,
yeah,
melting your lap. No, that's awesome. I mean, that's very surprising that he could pull that off.
Yeah. Actually. So this is the guy who has done this with several other things. He did it with the original Xbox 360.
Mm.
You know, he finally did it with the Elite, but this one is the best looking one he's done.
Yeah. Ben Heck.
Yeah, Ben Heck. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll have links to that in the show notes.
Cool stuff.
Nice. Thumbs up for that.
Oh yeah. So, my phone this week.
Yes.
I got a free update from Windows Mobile 5 to Windows Mobile version 6.
Wow.
And why is this exciting?
Why is this exciting, Joe?
Well,
exactly
let
how
me
big
tell
was
you.
The download?
I don't know. What's cool is it has a actual pretty good exchange support. So now I can wirelessly sync with work email. And it's faster. So I've been complaining about my phone to you for what, maybe a month now.
Yeah.
So this actually fixed a lot of the problems, and it has some extra features. And I just like that it was a free update. I've been using it for 3 days now, I would say, and been very happy. It feels snappier. I mean, it's no iPhone, but it was a lot cheaper than an iPhone, and it was a free update.
So. Did you say that you started getting some of the Google stuff?
Oh, yeah. So the new Google Maps, which I could have gotten before, I guess, but I re-enabled my data account, which is actually a little cheaper now.
Nice.
And I got the new Google Maps, which has all the iPhone features on it, where I can get my location via cell phone towers. And
nice.
And it works pretty well. The closest I've gotten, actually got even closer than I told you previously today, it was within like 700 meters. So
does the little target circle get bigger or smaller?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And usually the center of it is actually pretty close to where you are. Mm. So even though it says that this is the error, it actually worked really well.
That's cool. That's good.
Yeah.
So how about your DVR situation? What's going on with that?
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I'm not real happy with Comcast.
Really?
Yeah. My DVR broke. This week, I got an unrecoverable disk write error.
Mm.
And so it would no longer record, and I lost all my recorded shows. So I go to the Comcast store, and I stand in line for a good, 15 minutes maybe. And they have a sign up saying no more HDMI boxes. I'm like, man, I'm going to be stuck going back to freaking component again. I'm going to have to switch my Xbox to VGA, blah, blah, blah. Well, they had an HDMI one, thankfully.
Mm.
Their sign was just not updated. But I get it back, and it, it's working fine again. No worries. And then I recorded some stuff, and the first thing I recorded was the new Terminator series, because, there's nothing on TV, so I'm desperate.
Right.
And it recorded it in varying segments of as little as 2 minutes up to 10 minutes.
So you had, like, a ton of chunks
I
of
had
the
like,
same show.
Yeah, I had about 15 chunks of the same show.
Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't nice. So it hasn't done that since then. So I don't know if it was just
maybe
it was still formatting the drive.
Maybe it was choking on the quality of that show.
It could be. Yeah.
It was like, when you try to feed a baby and they like shake their head back and forth because they don't want it. I think that's what was going on.
I don't know. So I mentioned the Hackintosh earlier in the episode.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know what that even is. So Hackintosh is somebody trying to run OS X on a PC.
Correct.
And a guy has figured out how to do this for, let's see, it was like $350. You can build an OS X machine.
So,
of course, you have to steal OS X to do it.
Okay. So,
so basically what that, previously you had to buy like the highest end Intel chip, and you had to get, a certain amount of RAM and get it to work right. And this guy found a way to do it on a Celeron and get it to run pretty well.
Okay, so this is like the average hardware-friendly version of doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Apparently, though, it still isn't flawless, and I would not recommend using it on a day-to-day basis.
Did they get it working with Leopard, or is it only for
Yeah, Tiger? They did. They got it working with Leopard also, so that's good.
That's pretty cool.
I've been wanting to try this, but I have an AMD box at home, and supposedly AMDs are not as friendly with the Hackintosh, so...
Yeah, I really wouldn't have a reason to do it.
Yeah.
Because I have my MacBook
that I barely... Why would I want to run... more for curiosity's sake for me than anything.
But. Yeah. I know a lot of IT people, you know, tech guys, you know, they have that drive to, like, create and fiddle with things and, you know, take things apart and just really learn how things work from the inside out. But luckily, I was never born with that level of curiosity.
So, yeah.
Unless it's really hosed, I tend to leave things alone.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of hosed, I made the mistake of trying to install my old ancient scanner on my Vista box.
Oh, no. How'd that go?
Well, I went to the HP site and looked for a driver, and it warned me, there are no Vista drivers for this. You must buy a new scanner. This will not work. I mean, without any room for misinterpretation, it said, this will not work. I was like, bah. So, of course, I downloaded it, fired off the executable, and it had like that the installer screen. You know, if you've installed enough software, you kind of get that flavor of the program based on what the install screen looks like. Because every few years that the installer kind of undergoes an update. Well, imagine this going back to like when it was just like blue with like the little italic font up in the upper
You're
right.
Kidding.
It was that old. I mean, we're talking
like Windows 95 or DOS.
95 or 98. But so I was looking at this thing and I thought, this seems old.
Yeah.
And then I let it finish. Man, I started having all kinds of errors. Well, if I just reboot it, maybe it'll be fine. Wrong. Huge mistake. Vista started complaining, saying I can't start this service and blah blah blah, and I was like, oh man. So I just, to make a long story longer, I just fired off the restore point like get rid of it, because it wouldn't uninstall. I mean, it was that hosed. I mean, even the uninstaller didn't know what to do with it. So
that is not good.
Restore point saved me.
That's good.
But that scanner went to the trash this morning because it doesn't work.
Well, what are you gonna do with it?
Whatever.
So, have you ever wanted to move to Iowa?
That's a giant negative, Ghost Rider.
Well, Iowa apparently is ahead of the rest of the nation because the number of cell phones in Iowa is now greater than the number of landlines. That happened in the middle of 2007. And I'm actually surprised that would happen in a state like Iowa, where it's got a lot of wide open spaces. Seems like their landlines would be entrenched pretty well, and you know, it's just not what I would expect. Now, maybe I'm reading the story wrong, and like New York has had that happen already, but I think because those cities are a lot denser, it's taken longer to happen.
So you figure families, I mean, it's not uncommon for a family of four to have, you know, five cell phones now, because you may have one for work and then your kids have them, and I could see easily in that kind of situation the number of cell phones passing up the landline things. And there were some numbers that came out last year. It's like every time people move, like only 20% of the people who move today will reactivate their landline.
Yeah,
like when I moved, I didn't turn on my landline again. So I think a lot of people are doing that.
I think it makes sense. I mean, why would you even need one?
I don't know.
I don't need one. Let me look at this. So I hear you. You're not a huge fan of tabs.
I like tabs, but I like the concept of tabs. But for me, it's kind of like bungee jumping. I like the fact that it exists out in the world, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to take away other people's right to bungee jump, but don't expect me to like rubber band off of a bridge.
But why? I mean, it's so much cleaner. Everything is located in the one window. You can click through them all. Everything's easy to see.
Because every time... Okay, so here's the thing. It's not any more trouble to open it up in a new tab versus a new window.
Right.
Because it's basically when you right-click, a link. It mm-hmm. gives you that choice, do yeah. this or do that. Mm-hmm. So that's not any more time.
Mm-hmm.
Where I lose time is later, because I am a compulsive window closer. And every 2 seconds I get, are you aware that if you do this, you will be closing 27 tabs? Uh-huh. So I can't afford to have that conversation all day long.
You know, there's a little checkbox that says, don't ask this again. You can click that and
yeah, but then, come back. But then I would be losing, you know, things that I had opened up earlier and that I would have to reopen.
Well, don't upgrade to the Firefox 3 beta, because now every time you close it, not only does it ask you, do you not want to close these? It asks you if you want to save your session every time.
Oh, that's annoying.
You can turn that off too, but...
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying, actually.
I get tabs, and I mean, I get why they're awesome, and I like the fact that they do what they do. And there are times, mm-hmm. I mean, I keep trying to like it,
right?
You know, I mean, I just can't seem to like penetrate that barrier of using it. And just for so many years, I think it actually started back when we were having all the Java problems
right.
with Netscape and IE,
mm-hmm.
and so many things that you clicked wouldn't finish loading, or it would crash that window.
Right.
So what I started doing was just opening things in a new window, just like 4 or 5 things at a time,
yeah.
and just seeing which things made it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I would close the ones that failed.
See, that's what I like about tabs, is because it loads my tabs, and if something's not loading, it shows the little spinner right there in the tab, right. and I can just kill it right then.
Right.
I don't know. I've gotten used to it. I did have a little kind of a learning curve getting used to it, but I don't know. Tabs are good.
I mean, I like them, but I just can't get used to using them.
It's all right. You'll come around someday. It'll be the same day you use your Mac every day.
Okay. That'll be a long time long for now. And I'm sure I'm probably using up more RAM by opening up new windows for every page.
I don't know. Firefox already uses like 12 gigs of RAM, so how could it get much worse?
That, my friends, is going to wrap up another awesome-filled episode yes. of the Angry Admins podcast.
Yes. Yes.
So we had a slight change to the website this week.
Yeah, so I mentioned last week, man, those forums, they're kind of a waste of time. And about 24 hours later, I killed them off. So nobody was really using them. And, you know, the comments seemed to work pretty well before.
Yeah.
So we've killed off the forum, and inline comments underneath the posts are back in action.
Right. So that's less yeah. time for yeah. me.
Yeah. And I also want to give a shout out to Stuart in the UK. He sent us a nice follow-up email on our VMware talk that we just had recently, and gave us some good advice on some tips to use
yes.
for saving sessions in VMware. So thanks yes. a lot, Stuart.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, we'll be back again next week. Until then, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
Stay angry.